flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz coming to you from New Orleans as we count down the minutes to Super Bowl 59 on Sunday, which, of course, you can listen to on 94WIP or the Odyssey app. We got to hear Merrill and Mike. You watch the game, of course, but you got to hear Merrill and Mike. Elliot Shore Parks joins me for the final hour as Jack and Ike had to go catch their flight. So they're gone. We're the real ones.
I was going to say, you replace Jack and Ike with one person who does football, baseball, and also a Kendrick guy. So
yeah.
I feel like I checked all three boxes.
Got everything.
Exactly.
Got everything.
I love that Kendrick song.
You are the baseball guy,
yes.
Everyone says.
Time to talk, Phils.
At WIP. Now, I know you're tuning in now because you love to hear the top five at five. Everybody does. And you're like, well, Jack's not there. How are we going to do the top five at five? Oh, come on. Like, I can handle this.
You've done radio once
or twice. I got a bit of a resume for it. So, and I know he's going to hear this, and it's going to drive him crazy.
Oh, we'll be getting texts.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
It's the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
So what I have for you today is the top five things I've learned about Jack Fritz on our trip in New Orleans.
I can't wait to hear.
I've known Jack a long time.
Yeah.
Hire Jack here at WIP. But this is the longest extended period of time I've spent with Jack.
And it does make you learn somebody on a different level.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, I say this about relationships a lot. When a couple is going on their first vacation together, I say this is the true test of your relationship.
It is.
Because you think it's fun, and it is, but it's the first time that you're spending every waking minute together.
I also think if you can get past, like, an airport delay, not to, you know, with your delay tonight, airport situations, travel, they're a good test of relationship.
Stressful.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've had Jack. Yeah, I see Jack in the morning now. Yeah. I see him all day. Whenever
breakfast,
we go out,
when
dinner.
He invites you, yeah.
Yes, yes, when he knows it. So here are the top five things that I've learned about Jack Fritz on this trip in New Orleans. Number five, he doesn't use wrong words as a bit. He really just doesn't know that many words. You know, he'll say the wrong word. He'll say he uses infamous correctly for famous. He uses, you'll hear it maybe once a show, and we'll all joke. And I think people sometimes at home think, oh, he's doing that on purpose,
right.
Which I thought too. But he does it at breakfast, and he does it at dinner, and he does it when we're out for drinks. Like, Jack maybe only has 500 or 600 words in his vocabulary.
Yeah, and like half of them are about baseball.
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't go that far. Also, when you're out like at a nice restaurant with Jack, you know, I don't know if he's said a lot of the words on the menu, the drink choices.
Yes.
Yeah, these are new to him.
Yeah, yes. What is that?
Yes.
What is this? It's almost his sort of ignorance to the world is a little DeCamera-y. Like DeCamera, you know, my first trip with Joe was down to spring training.
Yeah.
And we had him eat a strawberry because he had never had a strawberry.
Which is
before.
Almost unbelievable.
Right.
Like, I'm sure he's not making it up, but that's wild.
Yeah, I got a text from David Yadgaroff, our boss, once, who was at dinner with Joe. And he texted me, and he said, Joe doesn't even know what a mango is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew what a reptile is. Either.
Right. Yeah. He didn't know if chickens had two wings or four.
That's it.
All right. The number four thing that I've learned about Jack on this trip is that he is always scraping for content.
Yes.
So nothing that happens in your private life with Jack is private. I saw him on the way. We took an Uber to drop our bags off somewhere. And I looked and I was like, what is Shaq looking at? And he was scrolling through my Twitter page, looking at responses to my tweets.
He's a big read the response guy.
Yeah. So all the time, you have to be aware that Jack could take this personal moment and make fun of you on the air.
Well, I think it's a product of the top 5 at 5. Like, I think he's always looking for ways. I give it to him every day. He has to fill that top 5 at 5, find something new. I think that's why. Because he is looking for content that day.
Yep. Number 3, and the things I learned about Jack Fritz on our trip to New Orleans, is Jack will do anything that Ike wants him to do.
Yes, that is very true.
You know, and, you know, you could look at this, you know, on one hand, you're like, that's his wingman, right?
Yeah, he's
down, that's his guy. On the other hand, you know, a couple of times, we're out, and I see Jack dead. Jack's a little sick.
Yep, ready
to
go
home. He's had a few beers. He's very, very tired. And Ike's like, do you want to go to this other bar? And Jack's like, yep. And Jack, no, you do not.
Well, that happened on Sunday night. Like, we were all about to go in. I was the one that suggested, maybe we should stay out. Jack was definitely going in.
Yep.
And then once Ike was like, let's do it, Jack turned around.
Yep.
And last night, Jack was texting me. They were out pretty late.
Yes.
I could tell, but maybe around, like, 10, Jack was probably wishing he was in.
Yeah, well, we were all out last night. And we all decided to go back to the hotel. And I can see the relief on Jack's face that we're going back to the hotel. And Ike goes, oh, do you want to go to this other place? And I'm like, dude, no. I'm going to the hotel.
Good by you. It's strong. It's hard to say no.
I thought Jack was walking back with me. Jack just stood there with him and waited for the Uber.
Wow.
Yep.
Look at him.
Yep. Number 2 in the things that I learned about Jack Fritz on this trip is Jack loves his kids. Jack loves his wife. Jack loves his friends. There is nothing that Jack loves more than his phone.
I learned that at breakfast when we went out to breakfast.
Jack stares at his phone, whether you're having a conversation with him, whether you're eating a meal. Jack is all, what is he looking at?
Your mentions.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a good point.
your Twitter page. Now, I will say, I'm a big look at my phone guy, too. Yep. I think it pretty much comes down to if you have Twitter on your phone or not. And you don't.
I don't.
So, like, I don't even know what you would look at. But
a text message.
Yeah. Yeah. You're texting nonstop at that point.
Yeah, right, yeah. Even at meals, I have a very, my wife knows this, I have a very hard line, no phone out at dinner.
My wife is good at those rules. I'm not as good at them.
Jack does not abide by those rules.
No, well, he's free now, too. You know? I mean, like, the Jill's not, like, he can just do whatever he wants on his phone.
Yeah, but some married guys go out on trips. Some guys want to go to strip clubs.
Right,
some guys
want
to go out and drink. Jack's like, all this time I'll get to stare at my phone.
Scroll nonstop.
Yeah. And the number one thing I learned about Jack Fritz on our trip to New Orleans is that Jack wears the same clothes every single day.
He's got one style. He pulls it off well. But
same clothes.
Same clothes.
Jack wore the same pair of pants Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Wore them in the morning to go to breakfast to take a walk during the show. And then we go out. Ike goes to his room, takes a shower, puts on his going out clothes. Jack is wearing the same gray yoga pants, gray t-shirt, and blue PGA hat that he wore.
Well,
to a nice, he does not care what restaurant we're going to, the same clothes.
I feel like, too, I don't know if you have experienced this, but it's definitely hotter down here than I expected. And muggier.
Yeah. Yep.
So the same pair of clothes every day.
Oh, disgusting.
I've never done like laundry on a road trip. Normally I just bring enough so you don't have to. I'm close to having to do laundry like tomorrow just because of how I feel like moist all the clothes become from being outside.
And we're walking everywhere.
Yeah, you guys have walked quite a bit. My hotel is closer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like 20,000 step a day walking.
Well, so would you say you and Jack's relationship has survived the trip?
It has.
Okay,
I think us as a show have it's a lot. Three guys, all opinionated.
Well,
you
here's
know?
One thing I learned about Jack since we're doing this.
Okay.
So making plans with Jack is impossible.
Yep.
He is a texter. So like last night, right, I get off the show with Tom Kelly and Devin Cammy. He's like, when are you off? I said, 6:55. He put, let's go. Okay.
All right.
What are you going to do? He puts, no, I know. I don't even know what that means.
Right.
Doesn't it follow up with anything?
Right.
Have you guys made plans? No. And then he goes, all right, are you going to come out? Well, I have to do the pod. And he just puts dinner. And I'm like, where and when? 45 minutes later, Mambo. That's it. What time? Now. Like, thanks, man. Like, this is really making it easy for me to come out.
Well, that's how I got screwed on the breakfast.
Yeah.
He's like, when are you going to be ready? 9:20. What's going on now? I'm walking back.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly, right.
Yep. This hour brought
you. It was
fun
to have him here.
Yeah. Oh, love Jack. Love Jack. I do. It's been a good trip with all. We've all spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, I mean, for months we talked about being excited for this trip, and it's definitely lived up to it.
Absolutely. This hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale extended through February. Receive 40% off all doors and windows. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Jay in Roxborough, you're on WIP. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Jay?
All right. Okay. Yeah. Let me take you off speaker here.
Oh, boy.
It's a classic WIP line.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I was listening to you talk to Marcus Allen earlier.
Yeah.
And what's ironic is that you got to think about it. They had Jim Plunkett down there, won 2 Super Bowls. And it's almost like he's almost like kind of like a Jalen Hurts kind of situation where, you know, he gets no Hall of Fame nods, nothing. You know, but in a couple of years, we'll probably be seeing Eli Manning go in, you know, with bad numbers too. You know, not that great of a quarterback. So my thing, especially with you, Jack, I'm like, when it comes to winning, you got to say that that's the main thing. Because if you – Jack, question for you, Jack, real quick.
Jack's not here.
Yeah,
Jack left.
Oh, okay.
Spike's
here.
Don't worry. I basically agree with him on the Jalen Hurts thing anyway.
You
so
yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jack and I don't agree on everything, but on the Hurts thing, he's harsher than I am, but we're pretty simpatico. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, don't let it be a knee jerk reaction. Now,
okay.
If you had to take a quarterback right now, Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow, out of those three quarterbacks, skill for skill. Like pound, they say pound for pound, skill for skill. Which one's the best quarterback without factoring in winning?
Without factoring in winning, I would go. Well, without factoring in winning, I would go Burrow. I'd probably go Burrow, Mahomes, Allen.
Mm-hmm. And see how quickly you did that. He's not the best. It's just that he's better than Jalen in a lot of areas. You know, but the thing is that.
Well, I'm missing. What is the point? What is the point that you're making then?
Well, my main point is really about the winning is important kind of thing. That's why I brought the Plunkett thing.
For sure.
If you win, the real fans are going to really appreciate you as if you were a great, talented quarterback.
I agree.
You know. And you know, we all know that Jalen doesn't have that skill set like those other guys. And I'm tired of making an argument for Jalen, trying to put him in there, because the fact of the matter is that that's not what he does.
No, I was going to say quickly, I actually think a really good point, a really good thing of what you're saying is a few segments ago, we were talking about Terrell Davis, and Emmitt Smith said Terrell Davis' season will be better than Saquon's or whatever. And I was like, well, he played with a Hall of Fame quarterback. And Ike goes, well, he got, you know, whatever. In 20 years, 30 years, all the context of how Jalen wins in his resume won't be as, like, well-known as it is now, right? So I think that now you can look at Jalen and say, well, he's not, you know, he's not great at this, or there's no question, you know, he has a great defense, that helps him, and Saquon helps him. In 20 years, his resume, I mean, if he keeps at this pace, will be good enough where people won't look back and go, well, he didn't throw it a ton. They'll just be like, yeah, look at this guy and what he's accomplished.
And that's the only thing Jalen can kind of hang his hat on. I mean, Jalen's not hanging his hat on anything. You know, he's just going out there balling to the best of his ability. But just as far as appreciation here at Philly with the fans, you know, we'll get past that whole, especially if Burrow and Allen and Lamar, they never win Super Bowls. Jalen is going to always be looked at as one of the top two in this era.
They've never won a Super Bowl. They've never won a Super Bowl. I would probably gamble that between Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, one of them will probably win a Super Bowl. And I think it's also fair to mention they're all in the AFC playing, this guy that is winning all of the Super Bowls. But hold on. I think there is, to be honest with you, I don't think, I think your best point is it doesn't really, like, matter. I guess part of my problem is I don't have to think that Jalen is as good as those guys for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. You know, like, there are quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls who are not as good as quarterbacks that haven't won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, in history, I mean, this is, you know, Aaron Rodgers is definitely a better quarterback than Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers won two. Aaron Rodgers won one. Eli Manning won two. I don't think the fact that Eli Manning won two Super Bowls makes him a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's probably pretty happy with his career. And finally, what I'd say is, I don't think Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame. I think the Hall of Fame is for the best players of all time. Eli Manning is not one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I think it's pretty easy to decide that he's not one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And you might say, well, he should be rewarded for winning two Super Bowls. He is. He has two Super Bowl rings. He's beloved in New York. Giants fans would love him forever. It doesn't make him one of the best quarterbacks of his era. It just... things happen in sports,
so
and it's great.
I do think Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame. To me, the Hall of Fame should tell the story of the league. I get your point about the best players, and that's part of it. If you put the best players in, you'll tell the story of the league. But you can talk about the NFL and the important moments in the history without bringing up Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan or guys that just played for a long time or essentially stat compilers.
Like, you can't talk about it without talking about Dan Marino.
Well, no, Dan Marino, I think, should be in. He was a great player. But I'm saying for Eli Manning, he won two Super Bowls. Like, he beat the Patriots, who were the undefeated team. He had two unbelievable playoff runs. And he still had a decent career. It's not like he had
decent, but he wouldn't even sniff Hall of Fame.
I agree. But he does have the two Super Bowls. So for me, when I'm talking about the Hall of Fame, like, I need to have the guys in there that tell the story of the league. And I think Eli Manning has to be included.
But I think what you're missing is like, have you been to a Hall of Fame?
I've not.
Okay. No. So I've never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame and I've been to the Basketball Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is far more than the busts and
It tells the story of the league in other places.
Yeah, there are great stories about what happened. Like, Nick Foles has things in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, he has his 27-2 thing in the
his
Hall of Fame. His seven touchdowns in the Hall of Fame. So I think to a certain extent, these Hall of Fames, we whittled down to who's in and who's out. But there are these things. That's why they're so great to visit. It's not great to visit because you get to look at the bust of your favorite player.
Right.
It's part of it. It's the other wings that tell the story of what happened with this player. What about the strike season where the scat players played in the NFL? All those sorts of things. I think the history of the league is bigger than who was actually in. And I think you can tell those stories about those seasons. Like the fact that the Patriots did not go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, and who beat them was Eli Manning, is an amazing story.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it can be documented in there about all the teams that came close to going undefeated and didn't. But I don't think it means that – I think it sort of cheapens what you're calling a Hall of Fame player if you're asking yourself and football might be the hardest Hall of Fame to get in.
Yeah.
You know, if the fact that Lane Johnson is not a definite Hall of Famer, that he's like a 60% sure Hall of Famer, shows how great you have to be to get in.
Unlike basketball.
Right. Yeah. Basketball, which is not even the NBA Hall of Fame.
Basketball,
it's just basketball. And they put, you know, Mitch Richmond in and things like that. I think you just have to ask yourself, is this one of the greatest players at their position at the time that they played? I don't think that Eli Manning is, even though he had a great career.
So I agree with you. I don't think Eli would check that box. I don't think he was one of the best players at the quarterback. And you're right. The part about the Hall of Fame having, you know, halls or different parts where they tell the story of the league is compelling. I do have a question for you. If you were Nick Foles, right, we'll use an example.
Yeah.
Would you give stuff to the Hall of Fame or would you keep like, I think it's crazy to think Nick Foles doesn't have stuff from the Philly special or whatever, you know, whatever it's in, the seven touchdown game. I'm a big collectible guy.
Yeah,
I feel like I would want to hold on to it.
I'm not a stuff guy.
Okay.
I'd rather everybody see the stuff than me have the stuff.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, we don't even have the option. I think one thing that's tough for us is when you do something great, you don't have the option of seeing thousands of people see it every day or it be in your house.
Yeah.
It's only in your house or not in your house.
Yes,
those are the only two options.
for just while we're speaking of Hall of Fame, I have a Jalen Hurts question.
Yeah.
Let's say he wins on Sunday.
Okay.
And the first 5 years of his career are duplicated over the next 5 years of his career. So he has two Super Bowls. You know, say he goes two more times. So four Super Bowl trips, two Super Bowl wins, four NFC title games, and a really, really good win-loss record.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a Hall of Fame career? Because I don't think most would say it right now, and I would disagree, but most would not say he's a top eight quarterback right now. Like, if you polled the, you know, fans, media, whatever,
most GMs, people have him between 8 and 14.
So he really wouldn't qualify as one of the best at his position. But, I mean, it's just crazy when you look at what he's accomplished. If you remove the eye test, and I know you're eye testmans now, so I don't want to – and a DVOA guy, which is sad to see. But
I like that as a stat.
Yeah. Like, do you think Jalen, if he wins, is on a Hall of Fame trajectory?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I guess I would have to see it, too. I don't know. I think, you know, he has a great start, right? The most interesting thing to me about Jalen is what the next 5 years actually look like.
Yeah.
Because this year has been an anomaly in terms of how you can play. I think the one thing we're going to have to look at going forward is the odds of them having a Saquon Barkley. They'll have Saquon, but having this sort of Saquon Barkley year to lean on and also have the number one defense in the league, like, that's going to be very hard to replicate.
Yeah.
So I think if he looked more like the 2022 quarterback,
right?
And you know, we've really seen three different years from Jalen. We saw the 22 year last year and this year, which have all been very different in terms of –
And 21, really, too.
Yeah. And 21 we almost wipe out because it was his first full year of starting. Right. But last year and this year were wildly different.
Yes.
This year and 22 were wildly different. So I think the most interesting thing about him is what his ceiling even is, because I don't know what it is at this point.
Well, and the thing I was going to – last thing is on the Saquon thing. Because I think the real reality with this game is, like, this is probably the best Saquon will ever play for them. It's going to be hard for him to have a better season.
Yeah.
So what I think is, all right, like, if you don't win it, can you win like this again, to what you just said? I think it's hard and borderline impossible to find another Saquon. But, like, Derrick Henry was obtained fairly easy this year. I think there is a world where if they find a way to win where they need a great running back, Howie can have a great running back. It's just a matter of how much the difference of Saquon between one and two made this year. And I think it was significant this year.
Yep. Yeah. And it will be interesting to see what – salaries for, if this trend of more running in the NFL is happening, whether they will be as easy to obtain, whether a team will just be like, we don't feel like paying you, Saquon,
right?
Where they would never do that with a quarterback in a million years.
I don't think the running back market's going to get reset the way people think. I think Saquon's a unique talent, and I also think if Saquon's deal's really only like a 2-year deal, it's not like Saquon got committed for a long time.
Okay. Well, that was an interesting conversation. 215-592.
You have another football guy on the show.
Look at us talking. I couldn't have that conversation with a guy like Ike or Fritz.
Exactly.
You know? 215-592-9494. Taking you all the way up until 6 o'clock. We are in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. You can hear the game on WIP. Listen on the Odyssey app. Got to listen to Merrill and Mike. By the way, thanks to Hatfield for sponsoring our coverage of our trip to New Orleans. As this has been awesome. So we appreciate that a great deal. So thanks so much to Hatfield. Coming up next, you know, so 5:30 Creed, we always do. We will be doing here. There is no Ike.
This is a decision you got to make. What are you thinking?
Well, I don't know. It really depends on Costo. So,
it seems like he's stealing the bit of singing anyway.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Everyone who complained about it is going to go
do it. Bad news
for
DC. He's going to get it twice now.
Yeah. So the option is either Costos comes over here, if he can, to sing.
Yes.
Or I sing by myself in the middle of Radio Row a Creed song.
It just, you by yourself feels like such a fitting way for this week to end.
If Costos can come over, I love Costos. He loves Creed. We sang a different Creed song at his show.
Right.
So I will take Costos. If there is no Costos, I will sing it by myself, and we will have footage of that. Your calls as well, all the way up until 6 o'clock. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
I cried out, heaven save me, but I'm down to one last breath. And with it, let me say, hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. I'm so far down.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That is the first 5:30 solo creed ever, as Ike and Jack had to leave to go catch their flight, and we decided that I had to do it solo.
It was beautiful to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It's been impressive watching you throw yourself fully into it, and today you definitely did that.
Yeah, well, if you don't forget where you are, like if you're too conscious of what's going on, that's when it catches up to you.
Well, and I'll also say, hey, doing it by yourself, it really is just your voice. At least Ike just yells.
You know,
and Jack yells. You're like, you could tell you were in a band. You're trying to sing what it says.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. Yeah.
Not everyone has the voice of whatever the creed is.
Scott Stapp.
Yeah.
I told Austin, who's producing for us. Oh, no, I was telling Fran back at the studio. Fran's like, you should just do it a cappella on the air, too, without the song behind you.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I've been fighting something off in my throat and in my sinuses for 2 weeks. I was like, I don't think I can handle that.
Yeah.
And the
Well, it sounded good. There were a few tough notes there.
Yeah. Well, there's 6 feet.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the
tough
part. It's a tough note normally.
Yes.
Yeah. 2-1. As I mentioned, Ike and Jack are gone. They went to go catch a flight. Elliott Shore Park's hanging out for the rest of the show. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike. Hey, Elliott. How are you?
Hey. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Oh, great show today. All week, you guys have been just killing it.
Oh, thanks so much, Tasty Cake.
Appreciate that.
The reason I called is I wanted to make a point about Brendan Graham, but just that conversation you guys had in the last break was so interesting to me because, to me, Elliott, to me, it's always about the wins and what. Like, if you look at Bill Russell's statistics compared to Shaq and Kareem and Wilt, right, Spike? They're pedestrian.
Yep.
But he's in the Hall of Fame. And Bill Russell's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Sure. But Bill Russell was a great, great, great player. Bill Russell isn't just in there because of winning.
Yep. Bill Russell, if you look at his stats, Spike, Bill Russell is Dikembe Mutombo.
And Dikembe Mutombo, I believe, is also in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is, to me, it can't always be about the stat. Elliott, for your example, if Jalen goes on and appears in 4 Super Bowls and wins 2 of them, and then averages 12 wins a year career, which
Jalen
was your example, right?
Yeah, Jalen is putting together a Hall of Fame career currently. Like, as of now, if Jalen duplicates what he did the first 5 years, he will have a strong Hall of Fame case if he wins on Sunday. Like, Sunday's a big turning point for Jalen, because if he wins it, and, you know, we can probably push aside how it looks, but if he obtains a Super Bowl ring, then you can really talk about, like, he is on lists with other quarterbacks that are almost all Hall of Famers. It's a little like Nick Sirianni, where I don't think many people would list Nick as one of the best head coaches in the league. But there are not many lists Nick is on that is not with, like, all-time great head coaches in terms of resume and what they've accomplished. But the difference is, if they lose on Sunday, then you're 0-2 in the Super Bowl. And, like, it's just – it's, I don't know if any player in the game has more of a – juxtaposition and how their career goes based off the result of Sunday.
Yeah, and for Nick as well.
Yeah, you know, I think Jalen, just because he's a quarterback, it's a little stronger. But you're right, like, they are tied together.
But and I get your point, Tasty Cake, but I don't really think the Bill Walton thing is a apples-to-apples thing. I mean, you didn't talk about a two-guard being in the Hall of Fame with bad stats. You talked about a center whose stats weren't as impressive, and you could say that about Bill Russell as well. But those guys were dominant defensive players. There's other things you can do. It's like you go through Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and there's not a lot of Hall of Fame quarterbacks that don't have impressive stats given the time that they played. You know, you could say Terry Bradshaw, or, you know, Elway is funny and Aikman is funny because they played at a time where you don't throw as much. But do you think Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame?
I do, Spike. I think two Super Bowls, to me, I think Plunkett should be in there. I think two Super Bowls get you in,
What about a center that won two Super Bowls that also touched the ball every time?
It's a little different.
Well, but yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess what I would say is this is the case that I think that Jalen Hurts would have over Eli, is that if Jalen Hurts were to repeat what he's done, is Eli's teams did not win even in the regular season at a clip that Jalen Hurts' teams have won
at. And what's crazy about the clip Jalen wins at, it's not like he's winning 11 games. Like, he's winning at a very high percentage.
Right,
it's going to be very hard to duplicate it for 5 years.
And yes, to that point, I don't think he can duplicate the regular season winning that has happened.
But the other
so
interesting
far.
Component of the potential of eventual Jalen Hurts Hall of Fame case will be, he is compiling some very, like, unique rushing records. And I know right now when we discuss, I mean, like, a lot of touchdowns, I think he already has, I don't have him in front of me, but there is a list of things he's done rushing the ball that a lot of quarterbacks have not. Now, to your point about how it looks, like, he is not the rusher that, like, a Michael Vick was, right?
Right.
But just in terms of rushing touchdowns, I mean, he is compiling them at a very high level.
Well, also, if he can keep it up, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, like, there's a world where in 5 years we're talking about him having such higher rushing numbers than a lot of other quarterbacks.
Sure. All right, Tasty K. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yep. Hey, Spike?
Go ahead. Yep.
Can I just ask you one more thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Not now. This is all about the Eagles. This is all about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You guys did great shows.
Yep.
But at some point down the road, Spike, when I get to Chickie and Pete's, I just want to I want to pick your brain as to what happened Sunday night, because I'm flabbergasted about what happened Sunday night. I can't get over.
Oh, the Luka trade.
No.
What?
The fact that you're up 26 points and running the Boston Celtics out of the Garden.
Oh, I like
and there's
that.
No way you can lose that game unless you fall back into a zone and let a team that has seven zone busters, get hot.
Or, Tasty Cake, when you're playing five guys in your eight-man rotation that are league minimum, two of which are two-way players, the other two of which are 50-year-old point guards. And playing the best team, the team that won the NBA championship last year, that is the best offensive team in the history of basketball.
Yeah, you said it, Spike. They live and die by the three. So that would be the last defense that I would play against them as a zone ever.
Sure. And if you had more players,
high school players out there, right, I'm making them get out there and put hands in the faces of them taking threes.
Okay. Well, we can talk about it at Chickies.
Yeah, yeah. And I wasn't going to, I didn't want to do that on
the
air because I want to, I don't want to aggravate you and Ike ever when I call. I'm watching the end of that third quarter, and it was agonizing.
I hear you. So. It was agonizing for all of us. All right. All right, Tasty Cake.
You might have him on the Ricky.
Yeah, I know. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. The scenario we've been talking about for 2 weeks now, what would you rather, have the Chiefs down four with the ball on their own 20 or be up? Or be down for yourself right. on your own 20. 56% of the people want the Chiefs to have the ball. And
they trust the Eagles' defense.
They trust the Eagles' defense. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
And 43.7 want the ball with Jalen and Saquon.
Are you still in the same place you've been all week?
You know, I don't want either situation.
Yeah, well, bad news.
Yeah.
Actually, Shiel Kapadia, I don't know if he talked about this with you guys.
We did.
Yeah. Okay, he wrote a great article about how they've only lost by 8 or more points like 4 times.
Yep.
So chances are they will be in that scenario.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well,
or something similar where
similar
the ball
to that
is
scenario.
The game is on the line in the final possession.
Yeah, the other interesting thing, Solak had it. This was a stunning stat.
Yeah.
He said that do you know how many passes Jalen has thrown this year in the second half of games with the Eagles losing?
I mean, based off the establishment, I don't know, 17?
13.
That's crazy. That has to be by far the lowest for a starting quarterback. Well, I would love to know what the – because you're right, they just stopped throwing it.
You could throw 13 times in one drive in the second half in the right
so what,
play.
So what's your takeaway from that?
Well, they've been up, and that is when, like, they've just tried to milk clock. And they decided at the – we can
– the infamous bye week.
Yeah, in the infamous bye week. We can move around the words to depend on what it is. You could say they decided the defense is so good and Saquon is so good that why risk it? Mm-hmm. Or you could say that Jalen was too turnover – but they decided this is how we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and they – I give them credit to being committed to it.
So
know?
My main takeaway, and it changed a little actually because I think that was an interesting point, but is I think that's why his passing numbers are so low. Like when they are up, they just run the ball. Now, you could say that's because they don't want Jalen throwing it and they view
right.
it as a more risky
– right. That's what I'm saying. You can –
yeah,
you can,
yeah, but like – Because stat is pretty wild when they're up all the time. He's basically – he's 13 attempts is basically not throwing it.
Well,
like,
right, yeah. And that's – the thing is that you – that's why they're low. The question is why are they doing it?
Now, I'd imagine of those 13, a lot of them are third downs.
Right.
So they're probably high leverage throws. There's just not a lot of
but
them.
But also, like, there are a lot of games this year that you look back and you're like, why was that a one-score game? Why
yeah.
was that a one-score game?
For sure.
Get back to your calls in a moment. Want to tell you, look, I am so happy to be going home. Of course, happy to see my wife. Of course, happy to sleep in my own bed. I'm very, very happy to be seeing my dogs, who I miss very much. You love your dog. You know you love your dog like family. And you're celebrating the big game on Sunday. So your dogs, your cats should as well. Dogs and Cats Rule is where you go to get their stuff so they can have a big game party just like you can. The lead dog, George Perenni, says that your pets need to celebrate just like you do. So, at your local Dogs and Cats Rule, there's 7 of them, and I'll tell you where. NFL licensed Eagles jerseys in all sizes. Bandanas, toys, collars, leashes, you know, fresh baked birds themed biscuits. And only this week, a special savings on chicken and beef jerky. Buy one, get one. Philly cheesesteak jerky for your dog. And Kansas City barbecue chicken jerky for your dog. Buy one pack, get the other one free. They have the best staff anywhere, can tell you anything. You have questions about your specific pet, this old, this allergy, this weight, blah, blah, blah. They can answer those questions, and they have all the top-of-the-line pet nutrition stuff there as well. 7 locations, as I said. 2 in Jersey, Princeton and Pennington. 5 in Pennsylvania, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, Bluebell, and New Hope. Any further information you want, go to dogsandcatsrule.bet. Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family, go birds. Big Aaron, you're in WIP. What's up, Big A?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, brother?
I got something to add to Jack. With that top 5.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of man love, man. He got a lot of man love down there.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. There's nothing, man. Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, man, sometimes you can't talk certain things about men.
What's the matter?
I think this is the Myles Garrett thing.
Yeah. Well, the Myles Garrett thing was out of pocket.
That was a Freudian slip. Yeah.
And it was something else he said, and I can't remember what he said, and I heard it, and I was like, why would Jack say something like that? You know, man, ain't nothing wrong with man love, but, you know, sometimes you don't got to put on the radio.
Well, and also, you know, he doesn't have to objectify Myles Garrett like that. Treat him like a piece of meat, you know? He's a person, too.
Although, if Myles ends up here, considering how often Trey Turner has now heard about the video of him and Jack,
Myles will
be on the air, and Jack will, that will be played for Myles.
Oh, yeah, and Jack will fight to not have it played.
Yeah, and he'll be back in the booth spitting everywhere saying he shouldn't have.
Yep, Spritz will be doing it.
Spritz.
Then he's following Ike around like a little... You know what I mean? Found Ike around all. I don't know.
That's his wingman.
Yeah. I get it. But don't leave my boy Spike out, though. You know what I mean? Come on,
well,
man.
I was invited.
I
was
invited. The crew?
Yeah, I was invited. Okay. I went home earlier.
All right, let's get to this hypothetical.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Jalen Hurts had a ball.
Okay. I agree with you.
Because we want to, so we can shut doubters up. That's one. If he goes back and scores, we can shut the doubters up. Like, you know, he's a clutch quarterback.
Like me.
He's a good quarterback, right?
Yep.
And so I want him to do that. That's hypothetically, because I don't think they're going to, you know, I think it's going to be slightly a blowout for some reason. I don't know why.
You know, people keep saying that.
Why? Because they can't control Barkley. Who's going to control Barkley? Who's really going to control him?
But the Chiefs have faced good running. The Chiefs have faced good running backs in the playoffs. Now I get Saquon might be the best rushing. This might be the best rushing offense ever. It's in the discussion. But they face good rushing offenses. So the idea of a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator figuring out a way to stop Barkley is not crazy. Like, I wouldn't bet on it, but it's not crazy.
They
said during the playoffs, though, they was giving up a lot of yards during the playoffs on the run.
Well, they did, and Buffalo
Buffalo
ran on them pretty good, and Buffalo put 29 on them. And, you know, we put 29 on the Chiefs. We better win the game. But the other thing is, like, talking about blowout, this is a team that lost one game all year.
You think they should definitely win with 29
A comfortable
points?
Win.
They should win.
A comfortable
win. Yeah, they should win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Big A.
Enjoy the rest of your time out there, fellas.
All right, brother.
See you.
We don't have the text line today because Jack didn't want anything extra to do. He's too busy packing up his stuff.
No one texts in when Jack's not here.
Yeah, but the text line is brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com. We'll be at Chickie's tomorrow talking about this game. I have to tell you, man. You know, because in the Super Bowl 2 weeks, we talk about nothing but
The Super Bowl.
And I might be out of stuff to say. You know, tomorrow's show is going to be interesting because I don't know what else I can say.
Well, I think
about
tomorrow's a hype show. You'll be at Chickie's. Yeah. People are going to be excited.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You still got to talk for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even being at the Eagles media availability today, I'm like, I don't know what else to ask these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. I bet this guy knows a little about the Big Easy. Herb in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, Herb?
Spike, what you been doing all week? Drinking?
Oh, drinking, eating French fries, you know?
Big Easy.
Yeah, the Big Easy. That's where the locals call
it. French fries are bad for you. I better come over there to Chickie and Pete's tomorrow and meet up with you.
Yep, you know what I eat at Chickie and Pete's?
Boy?
French fries, brother.
You say you and Elliot sound like on the downer or whatever, you know?
How you feel about it, Herb?
I feel great right now. Let me tell you. If I was down there with you, I'd be putting my arm around your neck. Yeah.
Well, that is an interesting thing to say.
Why? What makes you so confident?
I feel good because, like I said yesterday, the Eagles, they had three tough games. They were playing outside, and now you're inside the dome, and I just feel good. A lot of these guys, play good in the dome. Jalen plays good. He throws the ball good in the dome, and I feel good. I feel good, man. I think we're going to mix it up. It's going to be just like when we won in 2018, Nick Foles. Pass the ball, throw the ball, pass the ball, throw the ball. It's going to be a mixture of things. and different plays. I expect every little thing come out of that playbook, man. And anything you haven't seen is going to be here.
You got to leave it all on the field.
Sunday, February 9th. This is the last game of the year. You don't play no more after this. Win or lose.
Yep, all the marbles.
Should they pass it or throw it?
All the marbles. This is for you to walk around the field with the trophy. Okay.
Pants down.
And have the parade down Broad Street. Okay. Yep. That's what it's for.
Do you think they should pass it more or throw it more?
No, I think they should run the ball.
Yep.
To run the ball where they know that they're going to be successful.
Yep.
I can see at least 20 to 23 touches for Saquon and
I hope.
You know, I expect Saquon to, to run some more of those plays what they ran a couple weeks ago, and they're going to, break through that line, and he's off to the races,
and then,
whatever he can get through.
Yep.
He might want break one for 10, he might break one for 30, might break one for 25,
might break one for 41, 60, whatever it is.
You got to run it, then rush it.
Yeah.
I think run it.
Run it, rush it, pass it, throw it.
I think A.J. Brown, come Sunday when he puts those cleats on and he wraps up that uniform, he steps out on that field.
He said he's feeling good, Devontae Smith,
we got Goddard, we got all those guys, they got a mission, Mission 59.
Yeah, buddy. Yes.
Let it all hang out, baby.
Yeah, pants down.
I'll see you tomorrow. All right, brother.
Well, there we go.
There he is. Herb from the Northeast.
It's a good way to end the week of Radio Row. Hey,
man, can you imagine Herb in New Orleans? Now, Rio said he was coming down to New Orleans. We haven't heard anything about it, so I don't
surprised.
Think
I thought he would call.
If he was here, yeah. Yeah, well, I think he was going to drive down.
It's just close enough where you could do it. It's 18 hours. It's like 2 days.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. I could do it in one day.
No big deal to you.
Yeah, I was trying to think about yesterday if I had to drive back. I don't know why I always think about that.
Yeah.
I'm always in this thing when I have to get back for something because I have to be back for the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
If at what point does the flight delay become go rent a car and drive back there?
Right.
So I would have to be – okay. So I would
I
have to
already
be
missed it.
At Chickie's by 2 o'clock.
Right.
Oh, yeah, 18 hours. That's 14 from midnight. Yeah, I'd have to leave by 8.
Yeah, but you'd also have to go straight through if you did that.
Like, I could do it.
Straight through the night?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I drove from Los Angeles to Philly. I did it in 3 days with my aunt, but I drove the whole time. And I drove, I think, 14 hours a day. Now, it wasn't overnight.
Right. I think that's a tough thing, when it's dark. And,
yeah.
Well, hopefully you don't have to do it.
Yeah. We don't know. Well... again, thanks to Hatfield for sponsoring the broadcast down here. Has been excellent. We had a great time.
Good job all week. You guys crushed it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Good job. Look, you've been...
I'm basically on the show.
Man about town.
It's been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays with Elliot.
Yeah. Thank you to all our guests. Thank you to Austin, who has been our engineering help here. Thank you to Fran, who has produced 3 of the shows back there, and Buzz, who has produced 1. We will be at Chickie's and Pete's tomorrow. We hope to see you there as long as my flight gets there. I'll see you there.
I believe it.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Love you.